your story's going to come up, and it's your job to recognize them, catch them, and then choose your new action.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder. I have got Emil Steenveld joining us today. We are in Canggu, Bali, and Emil is a transformational coach, really specializing with emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And you were a model for 12 years as well.
I was.
The co-founder of a transformational events company called Elevate. I know you also got rocked by the recession a little bit.
Yeah.
Was a pivotal point in the story. And more than anything, really on a path to create space, and not even just create space, but create the outlet for those in transitions we were just talking about as well, to connect their dots and find their own way. And I know you're also in a transition as well yourself, and excited to dive into more of that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
I think you hit it pretty hard. But, you know, a glimpse into my personal life, how I got into emotion intelligence was purely because I couldn't understand my own emotions or feelings and thoughts, and always blaming, pointing, taking things personal.
Yeah.
And growing up with a mother that was a psychologist, having these books, so I was always a deep thinker. But I always came from a place of wanting to get the approval and the acceptance, which I feel like a lot of people do these days.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, in line with that, Unconventional Lifers is a preview. I'm thinking about launching this series called In the Dark, where we actually pull back the curtain behind, like, our mental health. And especially, you know, coming back to what you were just saying, like, oftentimes we have these emotions or these sensations and we can't understand the volume of them. So there's a magnitude I've experienced that I'll feel in my system, yet there's no way to classify it. So we've categorized it as, oh, you must just be depressed, or you must just be angry, or you've definitely got anxiety. And that those, all those things may be true to some degree, but I also think there's something deeper. And so I'm curious if you can speak to that in your own life and maybe give a frame for how you relate to emotion, and particularly the sensation that actually causes it and how you work with it.
I mean, for a lot of people, whenever they're experiencing uncomfortable feelings, thoughts, or emotions, we try to bury it. And there's certain ways where you do it, which is a natural way of, like, emotional eating. Alcohol, drugs, sex, it could be Instagram scrolling, Facebook. And we distract ourselves so much to the point where it's like, whenever I experience any uncomfortable, it's like, what's my go-to? Whenever I feel out of control, what do I do in that moment?
Yeah.
And what we've got to understand is that if we can learn how to be with these feelings and thoughts and nurture them instead of pushing them away, then we're going to allow them to pass through us. And so many of us don't want to do that because it is painful at the start. And I say that at the start because if we can really just learn to push through that very first time, and not in a way where it's like I'm forcing it, but breathing through it, then it allows it to pass. But the moment we try and hold it, we try and control it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where it gets even bigger in our minds. And then this is where the stories come up, where it's like, well, I can't do that, or I don't want to feel that, or I made an agreement when I was a child that I had this happen to me and I never ever want it to happen again.
Yeah.
So it's imperative that we learn how to nurture it, because it will affect every single thing in our life, every single decision, how we build a relationship, how we build up, meet our partners, the job we choose, where we choose to live.
Absolutely. I know you, as I said in the introduction, you knew were a model for 12 years. And so talk about masks, right?
Yeah.
Literally morphing into a persona
on
camera and in all those capacities. And I think in general, we talked about this a little bit, but oftentimes many of us, we wear masks, whether we're at work or we're out with a certain group of friends or we really want someone to think we're pretty cool. And so, you know, how we talk about ourselves. Yet at the same time, those masks are also, you know, doing a disservice to some degree. And so I'm curious how you've gone from that world into starting to work with even taking this first step. And if we were like a fly on the wall, like what would we have seen? And give us a glimmer.
Masks. Like I was the epitome of a mask. Like, and I call people that do it, like I call them ducks. Mm. Because it looks smooth on the surface and underneath they're pedaling. Right?
Ducks, that's so good.
That's how I call them. I'm like, oh, you're a duck. I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're basically showing me that everything's cool on the front, on the surface, which is so many of us, but deep down inside you're like, holy shit, I'm dying right now. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was I call myself a recovering perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to look good. It had to be perfect because I was deep down, I didn't accept myself. I didn't accept the dark parts of me. And I would only do things that I was good at. So if I wasn't good enough, I wouldn't attempt it because that would feed my story that, you know, that I was believing at the time that I wasn't enough. Now, so many of us wear these masks and we don't even realize we're doing it. Mm-hmm. That's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Now, I knew I was doing it, but I didn't know how to stop it. Mm-hmm. And as a model, it was like, yeah, cool, I'm the model now. Before that, I had a story that I wasn't good enough. I was so scared of rejection. It was funny, before I became a model. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally did it, then I became the model. Yeah. And now I'm confident all of a sudden. It was this fake confidence. But because I'm a model, that's how you go to work and show up.
Yeah.
The modeling game taught me about rejection. Mm-hmm. It taught me about acceptance because I was getting rejected consistently. And then I had to learn how to be with that rejection and not take it personal. And when I realized that I was in that game for 12 years. I had the whole point of that whole my life going through that those series of events was to understand that I am enough.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if people reject you. What matters deep down, honestly, is how I see myself. Mm-hmm. And my esteem doesn't go up or down based on the opinions of people. And only when I got to a point where I was making the money and I was getting the approval, that I realized my self-esteem didn't change.
Funny how that happens.
I know. We gotta all of that. Yeah. And then we're like, oh.
I literally like flew from Colorado to Bali to like basically escape something I was feeling. Well, that wasn't the only reason. But I'm like, oh, wow, it's still here on the other side of the world.
And it will follow you.
And it will stay.
It will follow you all over.
Yeah. And even so, like, even if we take it out there, it's like, whether it's the money or it's the thing you fixate on, whether it's the goal, if I sign this client, if I, you know, get this thing, if I buy this house, then somehow we believe, like, it'll change or transform.
Yeah.
And it never does.
Never.
But if anything, I feel like it's an even bigger letdown.
What will happen is you will think that you've outrun it. And you come into another country, it's like, yeah, sweet, I'm in another environment. And it's cool for the first maybe few weeks, month, few months, and then all of a sudden it creeps back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it really subtly.
Yeah.
Like, in a way where you're like, oh no, I didn't want this to come back. Mm-hmm. And then it will come back even louder.
Yeah. So I imagine you've created a process that you work with of some kind. And just in terms of one, bringing the awareness, the recognition of it, and then how you actually, you know, move through it. And I think it's something, you know, even for myself, like landing in Bali, it was a rocky landing.
Mm.
Like I was like, ah, Bali's my flow. I do CrossFit. I got all my healthy food, all my friends. And I got here and it was like, my whole system was like, whoa.
Yep.
And I've spent a good majority of days crying since I've been here and like grieving and feeling. And there's a lot of stuff on conventional lifers. It's been up in my personal life that's moving. But it's part of it. It's part of the shedding. The shedding is part of the process that has to happen.
Yeah.
And it's a process that I've learned to recognize myself. But for someone that's hearing this, that usually stuff comes up. And like you said, we just stop. We Instagram. We scroll.
Yeah.
We pause. We numb. We have that extra glass of wine when we get home from work. Mm. We do the thing. Like, what step-by-step could you give someone to work with it?
So first, you've got to recognize what you're hiding from or avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
What are you pretending not to know about yourself? And when you ask those kind of questions, like, what do I keep avoiding?
Mm-hmm.
Every time something comes up, and a good way to notice is also, what are you resisting?
Yeah.
Or what are you trying to control? Because a lot of us don't even realize that we're trying to control something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every time you experience that thought, feeling, or emotion, you need to ask yourself, what do I do? when that comes up. Because then you're going to get the first pattern.
Yep.
Then, once you recognize the pattern, it could be a thought. And I'll give you an example of mine. My thought was every time I felt out of my comfort zone or I was in a circumstance where I didn't feel smart enough and I was put in a circumstance, I would be like, I would just go quiet to avoid any attention.
Totally.
Right? So if I just feel small...
No one will see me. Right? It's a good idea in your head.
It's like, yes. Right? Totally. But ultimately what I was doing is I was avoiding the learning.
Yeah.
And what I didn't really get that until later on. So I had to recognize that first. So you have to recognize the self-awareness comes first. Then you have to actually name your thoughts. So ask yourself, what are the thoughts that keep coming up on a consistent basis? Maybe I don't feel like I'm pretty enough. Maybe I don't feel like I'm healthy enough. Maybe I don't feel like I actually accept parts of me. What is the stories you're saying to yourself on a consistent basis? And a good way to recognize that is, what do you do the first time? Like when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, what's the first thing that comes up in your mind?
Yeah.
Because it's a replay over and over. Then what you've got to do instead of fusing with those thoughts, we're going to teach you how to defuse. So what you're going to do is recognize the thought and you're going to go, oh, I'm noticing that I'm experiencing this thought of I'm not being good enough. Or it's being, and I give it a name, right? So I give it a name and it could be like something as stupid as like, it's Kermit the Frog, because it's stupid, right? So I'm like, oh, the Kermit the Frog is coming to like stop me from going to the next level.
Yeah.
So these thoughts will only come up when you're going to the next level or you're going to get into an uncomfortable stage. And no matter how big you get, I'm telling you, like, I'm sure you've experienced it. Like, you go to one level and then you're like, yeah, I'm good. And then you're like, I'm going to the next level. And then that thought comes up again. You're like, wait, what? Right?
Totally.
And then it keeps coming up. And it always will come up, no matter how big you get with what you're creating. So your job is to recognize it and notice it instead of fusing with it. Because the moment you fuse with it, literally, it's like it's got you stuck.
Yeah.
And the moment you get too stuck, the moment you literally can't see anything. So literally, that's the thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's my palm, and all of a sudden, that thought, which is my palm, is literally over my face, and I can't see anything. That's when I fuse with it. But the moment I recognize it, and I go, "Oh, it's just one of my thoughts that's trying to stop me from going to the next level." What is the action step I'm going to do next, right? And you literally catch it, action. Catch it, action.
Yeah.
So the moment you do that several times, it stops having as much power over you.
Mm-hmm. Let's give that an example in your own life, something that's been relevant to you recently.
Just on the weekend,
uh-huh.
I was speaking at an event. It was for 350 to 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking to a bunch of digital marketers.
Mm.
I don't know much about marketing, right? And I had to have a slideshow. And it was a PowerPoint presentation, and I don't really speak that way. Normally I do intervention coaching, so I coach on the stage. Let's go right now in person.
Totally.
And I'm totally comfortable with that, more so than a PowerPoint presentation, which is funny. And my stories started coming up of, oh my God, you have to get this presentation right. How are these people going to receive this? And I was literally, the perfectionist in me started raising. And I was like, holy moly.
Yeah.
I've been doing this nearly 10 years. And it's showing up again. And...
next level, the PowerPoint.
It is.
Versus
like me coaching in front of people, which I can coach in front of anybody and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But when I had some technical stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm going to forget about this. Because I have a story that I'm not, you know, I don't really focus on it. So I have a story that I'm not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed is leading up to the event that the stories were coming up and I was trying to get this perfect. And I was like, oh, you're doing it again. And I caught it. And I noticed, and I had to ask myself, who am I here to serve? And the moment I asked that self that question, the perfectionist was trying to make it about me. The ego was trying to make it about me.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment I caught it, I was like, who am I here to serve? These people are people and they have thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Just the same as anybody else. I'm looking at them like aliens. And I literally said it to him on stage. And what was interesting is that back in the day, the perfectionist in me would never admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the stage, after opening up my talk, I said, I got something to admit to you guys.
Mm.
And the moment I said it, the moment everything
settled, but
felt
yeah.
great again. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not trying to be this thing. I'm not trying to look a certain way. I'm being a certain yeah. way. And that's a big difference. And it literally just happened to me on that weekend. And although it wasn't the most, how can I say this? The talk was, it went really well for how I prepared mm-hmm. and I did my best. It was tough to get people to open up mm-hmm. because they weren't there for that. They were there for like learning funnels, SEO,
totally.
All that kind of stuff. But ultimately I was like, it was a learning thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel any high or less about myself. I was like, yo, you did a great job.
Yeah.
And that's what matters. But ultimately mm-hmm. that's what's going to happen. Your stories are going to come up and it's your job to recognize them, mm-hmm. catch them, and then choose your new action.
So good. Kermit the Frog, everyone. You take your hands if you're watching this on the video and actually play with bringing it back in front.
Yeah.
And my last question for you before we transition to the rapid fire round is really around what it takes to facilitate transformation. Mm-hmm. Because I think we have moved into, you know, a society that even the word transformation, it's becoming popular.
Yeah.
We've been, when I remember when I started doing these unconventional life events in 2016, it was like, oh, it's like, I didn't even have a language for it. And now it's like, all right, whatever, enough of your transformational stuff. But at the same time, I think it makes a difference. And I also think it's the way of the future. Like, how is it that, you know, when you go, imagine you go out with your friends and you're about to like sit down at a party or whatever it is. And people are like, can we just all drop in together? Mm. Can we all just connect in a way? Can we all just settle? And actually, even before we started our interview, we were like, fast pace. And I was like, can we just take a breath.
Take a chill pill.
And really, and actually have a awareness or a toolkit, a skill set to actually be able to start to bring transformation into really anything, whether you're with your friends or we're at this interview. And so what do you think are the components of how you see an access transformation? And if you imagine that, as if someone's hearing this, as if you could transfer a few of those components as a skill set that they, anyone listening, could apply in various areas, what would you say those few needle movers are, the things that...
I think transformation is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And people think that it's like, yeah, I'm going to come and I'm going to get transformed. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen straight away. Mm-hmm. And once I get rid of this, it's never going to show up again. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. as much as I wish it could, it's not about that. I think transformation is a constantly evolving thing. And we are constantly transforming, evolving, moving, and allowing. And I feel like that's what transformation is. It's allowing.
Yeah.
And so many of us that don't allow will keep it. Mm-hmm. And we keep it as truth. And that's how I've been my whole life, and that's how my parents were, and this is how I'm going to carry it. And then I spread that pattern to my kids and my children. Mm-hmm. And I think for people listening out there, if you're looking to do transformational work, it's never ever a quick fix. You can't come even to our events. I'm like, what's the reason why you want to come to the event? And they're like, well, I want to work on this, I want to fix this. And I'm first thing, I'm like, we're not fixing anything. Mm-hmm. Two, this isn't a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And three, this is consistent work.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to inspire you. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to give you a thing where it's like, yo, you're going to get pumped up and you're going to leave and you're going to inspire. And literally 2 weeks later, you fall back into the same pattern.
Yeah.
And I think people need to recognize that it's really about practice and implementation. And it's the same thing when I say pick up a book, great, read the book. Yeah. But it doesn't mean anything if you put the book down and you don't practice it and implement what the book is actually saying.
Yeah.
And without it, it's not enough to know anymore. Like, there's so many of us that know, and it's like, great, you fed your ego. Mm-hmm. Now I know more. And the more my knowledge rises, the same as my ego. And now you've worked out smarter ways how to dodge being pinpointed.
Right. And that's why then we consume and we start to learn more. Yeah. And after podcast or course after course, and then you're like, I keep thinking and seemingly doing the right things, yet my life looks and feels the same.
Yes.
So.
And this is why transformation for me is super important. Like, when I think about transformation as a speaker, it's like I like to do live interventions in person. Because I can show you that it doesn't have to be long, but if you commit to it and you go to it, go to the core, you'll see the shift in people straight away.
Yeah.
It's just about being consistent with it.
Totally. Consistency.
Yeah.
So we can keep going on that. We're going to go to the rapid fire round, unconventional lifers. Series of laser questions coming at you. question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I'm a dork.
Nice.
I know, yeah, pretty much, yeah, I'm a dork.
Yeah.
I like to have fun, I'm just not what it looks like.
Totally. Question number two, in line with that, what is one surprising or quirky fact that most people may not know about you?
I love documentary and bugs.
Bugs. Yeah.
So like I'll be in my backyard in rice fields and I'll be like just watching different behaviors.
Oh, bugs.
It's crazy. Right?
It's great.
But yeah,
it's like, better than people watching.
Butterflies. Oh, watching. I do that too. Yeah. Any kind of behavior, but yeah, it's funny. I literally watch the dragonflies and I'll see how they migrate and they move and
yeah
so
good. Yeah. Next question, what are a few of your non-negotiable practices that you do regularly that you feel set you up for success?
My non-negotiables, I never ever betray my values for anybody. Honesty, integrity with my friends and my closest relationships. It's how I build, it's how I connect. And non-negotiables, always say the truth no matter how you feel.
Yeah. Yep. Lastly, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
I think living the unconventional, living the unconventional life means to me is to be fully self-expressed. And for me, this is what I really focus on. It's like, how can I just be super open to full self-expression without caring what people think? And when I'm in full self-expression, I feel like I'm in alignment. Mm-hmm. I have the most flow. I'm the happiest I've ever been. And I feel like I mirror that with people in front of me. And when I see people fully self-expressed, it's the most beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Radical self-expression, everyone. Mm. It's how I relate to it. Yeah. Emil, tell us a little bit. I know you run these events. Mm. Like you said, Elevate. You're the co-founder with Joel Brown, who we've also had on the podcast. You can check out his episode as well in the archives. And if people want to learn more about the events, like what happens at these experiences, and also I know you yourself do a lot of different coaching. What's the best way for people to follow along and stay in touch and all that jazz?
So usually our events run for 4 days, and I call it a transformational experience because we literally are taking you on a journey, and it's going up and down, and there's times where people are literally coming in, they're getting the awareness. Mm-hmm. We go through the digging. So we do a lot of forgiveness work too, which a lot of people don't know is the ticket to freedom. Mm-hmm. We go into their stories, their resentments, their rejections, their regrets. We clean up the mess. So the first day and a half is really about scooping it all up, bringing it to surface. Because until we do that, we're always going to just be like skimming over the parts. And then we go into what it would look like. So we create your vision. We go into your values. So until you know your values, you're always going to show up the way you think you need to show up for other people and not in alignment with you.
Yeah.
So we go into your values, then we go into your vision, and then we're like, how do we make this an ongoing process? How do we create the habits and the structure?
Yeah.
And the events that we do, it's the way they come in at the start compared to the way they leave. It's one of my favorite things. I absolutely, their faces shift. They connect with people that they haven't connected with in years. They're letting go of like 20, 25 years of heaviness, resentment, pain.
Yeah.
And when they come back out and we add a little bit of nature, like we do tours, like, you know, because nature is perfect vibration.
Yeah.
After we connect with nature and get them to really simplify their lives again. And that's what we're doing. We're simplifying the stuff that they made complicated.
Yeah.
They really leave with the ability to really connect with themselves on a deeper level, therefore doing that with the people that they love. So yeah, that's Elevate.
So good. Yeah. And for those that want to learn more about Elevate and, you know, follow along with your journey as well.
Yep. They can find me at Emil Steenveld on Instagram and www.emilsteenveld.com.
Amazing. We will throw all of those links, Unconventional Lifers, on the website, unconventionallifeshow.com.
Thank you.
Emil, thanks for tuning in. I love being able to do these in person, and thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Unconventional Lifers. Lots of love to all of you.